I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Chris Guillebeau joins me again. The New York Times bestselling author was last on for his book, The $100 Startup, and has just published The Happiness of Pursuit, Finding the Quest That Will Bring Purpose to Your Life. It's a great book that features a lot of the interviews Mr. Guillebeau has had with people who, like him, have set goals for themselves and how they've achieved those goals. And what's revealed throughout the book is how more than accomplishment is yielded. For example, striving or pursuing a quest enriches one's life. I'll get Mr. Guillebeau to tell us about this book. If you'll recall, when I spoke to him a couple of years ago, he was about to complete his quest to visit every country in the world. I'll ask him whether he did that and more. Chris Guillebeau is an entrepreneur and traveler. His first book was The Art of Nonconformity. He hosts the World Domination Summit, an international gathering of creative people. His website is at chrisguillebeau.com. The book is published by Harmony, which is an imprint of Crown. I spoke to Chris Guillebeau earlier this week when he was in Vancouver. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Chris Guillebeau. Mr. Guillebeau, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for joining us. So, did you make it to every country in the world?
I did indeed, sir. I wrapped up that goal last year. It was a 10-and-a-half-year journey, and it finally came to an end with the final country in Norway, country number 193 of 193.
And so how did it feel to accomplish that, to get to Norway, knowing that that was the last country on the list?
You know, it was something I'd been looking forward to for a long period of time, obviously, and I took a lot of joy throughout the journey. I took a lot of joy throughout the process of all the different milestones of getting to the first 100 countries and then the 150 and the final few. But maybe toward the end of the journey, I was also kind of, you know, just reflecting and thinking, like, everything that had happened and all the people I had met and what would I do next. So there were maybe a moment of bittersweetness or a little bit of some complex feelings. But overall, it was just fantastic. I mean, I was so fortunate to be able to do this, and I wouldn't change anything about it.
So you wrote in this book about the importance of having a pursuit, having a quest, having a goal. For people listening to us, what have you found in writing your own goals out and thinking about what you want to do? Did you find was the benefit of all of that?
Well, you used the word striving earlier in the introduction. I really like that word. And for me, I was always very goal-oriented, and I was a list maker. I love to write down my lists of daily tasks and my list of ideas and different things that I wanted to do or I hoped to do. And I loved traveling as well. And so once I started traveling, I started writing down a list of countries that I had been to. And for me, you know, I mentioned joy earlier. I took a lot of joy. I found a lot of happiness in taking on this goal, this quest, and working toward all of the different challenges and obstacles that happened along the way. With the quest, I always knew what to do next. And I really liked that. I would go away at the end of the year. I'd plan out my next year. Had a lot of different projects I was working on, some business projects, some writing projects, and personal projects. But kind of at the foundation of all of it was, well, I've got to get to, you know, 15 more countries next year. I've got 20 more countries or whatever to do. And I just love the grounding that I found in pursuing that goal. It did bring purpose and happiness to my life.
The other interesting thing that you do in reading the book, you mentioned this, is that you spend a year, you spend a week a year doing sort of this annual review, this inventory of your life. Mm. What's involved with that in terms of, I mean, is it just sitting down and making these lists?
Yeah, I started this maybe 7 or 8 years ago or so when I took a rare vacation. I just had kind of a few days off by myself, and I started thinking, okay, you know, like, what do I want to do with my life, essentially? And let's break it down really specifically. Like, over the next year, what do I want to accomplish? How do I want to spend my time? Like, what kind of progress do I want to make toward the things in my life that matter to me? And so it was kind of a reflective exercise. I wrote in the book exactly how it works. There's a whole template that people can use for themselves or modify, you know, to suit their needs. And it just kind of helps me a lot, you know, to go into that next year then and say, okay, well, here are the goals that I have, and here's what I need to do. And for me, it felt very freeing. Even though there was a lot of structure to it, it felt very freeing because it was a structure I had created for myself. It wasn't something that was imposed upon me. It was something that I designed to achieve the things that mattered to me.
In this period of reflection that you do, I mean, we'd really benefit from doing that, because I don't think a lot of us take the time to take stock and just look back and invariably look ahead.
Well, absolutely. I think often you know, we're kind of caught up in the existing commitments and we've made and the obligations we have and responsibilities and such. And you know, we can't get away from those things. And some of those things are good and well and healthy. But I do think it's also healthy to think about the future and to say, okay, let's not just, you know, week by week, month by month kind of build along, but let's think, what do we want our life to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And, you know, that's why I said yes to the quest in the beginning, because, you know, at first I had this idea and it was kind of a crazy idea of like, I'm going to go to every country in the world. You know, should I really do that? Will it work? How much will it cost? Et cetera, et cetera. And the more I processed it, the more I realized, you know, like there is a lot of uncertainty and risk involved in this. But if I don't say yes to it, if I don't at least try to do it, I know I'm always going to regret it. So once I kind of stumbled on that logic, on that line of thinking, that's what really kind of pushed me over the edge to say, okay, we're gonna give it a go.
And so in this book, The Happiness of Pursuit, you found people, seemingly ordinary people, accomplishing extraordinary things. Where did you find these folks?
Initially, I found some of them from my own community. As the project grew, as I was publishing other books, I began to connect with people all over the world, first in North America, but then in many other countries and areas as well. So a lot of my readers are really kind of into this questing thing and adventure and travel. But then I wanted to go beyond that, you know, so I did a little bit of call to action. There was some mainstream media that gave it a lot of attention. I just started seeking people out and asking, you know, for referrals, because I didn't want to just feature people who were like me. I wanted to find travel, not non-travel quests, excuse me. I wanted to find academic quests and humanitarian quests and people in the arts and music who had really, like, also, you know, pursued something with all their heart and given all that they had towards something. So I tried to be as diverse as possible.
And generally, and I guess all of them really, who have a goal, they yield long-term happiness, don't they?
I think they yield both long-term, you know, long-term happiness and long-term fulfillment. Maybe let's say even short-term happiness, mm-hmm. because, you know, you enjoy the pursuit, you enjoy the building blocks, but then you're also building towards something that's meaningful. So I don't know if it's the complete answer to everything in life, but I think it's a key to it. I think striving, and I think working towards something that we identify for ourselves and setting that goal above all others, I do think there's a lot of happiness to be found there.
And did you find someone in particular that you found inspiring for you?
There were a lot of people that were inspiring. You know, I heard from people who were doing some really just ridiculous, you know, fantastic things in the literal sense of the word. There's actually a guy here from Canada who ran 250 marathons in a single year, you know, so that's just incredible. But then I also realized, like, as amazing as that is, most people aren't going to be able to relate to that. Like, most people, you know, don't have that same desire to run 250 marathons or to visit every country in the world. So I also liked people who had found a way to cultivate the value of adventure in their own lives, you know, to do something regardless of their situation, regardless of whether they were able to travel or do something, you know, some really crazy athletic pursuit. There's a woman in Oklahoma who cooked a meal from every country in the world. And she did this after she had a young daughter and she wanted to bring up her family with an international perspective, but she wasn't able to travel. And so I love the fact that she looked around at her own situation and she created a quest that worked for herself. And then she started sharing the recipes online and other people began to engage with it. So I guess, you know, everyone has an adventure. Everyone can find a quest. And I was just as interested in people who did something like that as I was in the crazy, you know, travel or athletic quest.
The one person that whose story I rather liked in the book was Megan Baker, and I guess she'd met this guy named Adam Warner, and they were teachers.
That's right. Yeah, this is an interesting story because it's a sad story in many mm-hmm. ways. So Adam and Megan were engaged to be married when she actually became ill with a cancer that eventually took her life, and Megan died at a pretty young age, but before she became ill, she had created this bucket list or this life list of all the different things that she wanted to do, and she wanted to run a marathon and go to a baseball game and volunteer in India and learn to knit, you know, all these different things, and then when she passed away, of course, she wasn't able to fulfill most of those things, so her husband, her young, you know, widower husband, took on this bucket list for himself and decided, I'm going to fulfill, like, everything that Megan wanted to do. You know, and in doing this, I'm going to honor her memory, and it's also going to help me through the grieving process. And it was I really liked the story because he talked about how Megan, like, even though her life ended at a young age, she she really lived. You know, she really lived a lot, and she always went all out. She always gave everything that she had, and he was just kind of seeking to continue that practice as he rebuilt a life for himself.
She was from Canada, wasn't she?
That's right. She was from Canada. He was from the U.S. It's an international love story. They met in South Korea when they were both teaching.
What one learns from their story is that having a quest, I mean, you have to have a sense of, say, mortality. That and you talk about this in the book, the difference between, say, the intellectual awareness of mortality and the emotional awareness of that.
Yeah, so I noticed that a lot of the people that I talked with, even though they were quite diverse from many different backgrounds, they often used similar language. And they often talked about, you know, how I mentioned having a crazy idea. A lot of people said the same thing. There was this guy who walked across the United States, and he said, you know, he had this crazy idea to just walk from Portland, Maine to San Francisco, and this idea wouldn't leave him alone until he decided to pursue it. And similarly, a lot of people had what you described as an emotional awareness of mortality. So some of them had always just been sensitive to death. Some of them had experienced the loss of a family member or a close friend. But for whatever reason, they chose to live with urgency. They chose to, you know, find something that they could really pursue. They chose to find something that really mattered to them and to go after that. So however they had come to that, they had that sense of living with urgency.
So I went to Texas last year for vacation, and in Texas there happened to be three presidential libraries there. So I went to two of them, and after having been to two of them, I've made a list now. That one of my quests is to go to all 13 of them, as well as the other ones that aren't run by the National Archive. And so I've been to three now, and I quite enjoyed doing this, and that's my quest for the next few years, I guess. Some people don't get that, and I guess one of the other lessons in the book is that one shouldn't let the people around them dissuade them from pursuing whatever goal it is. I mean, if it's seemingly productive, of course, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, like your quest doesn't have to be productive. Like it's a fun project. You know, you've identified something that is enjoyable, and there's a little bit of challenge to it. You know, it's not a tremendous challenge, but it is something that you have to kind of work toward over time, and you have to be able to plan, you know, your limited holidays or your limited travel dates around that. And like you said, not everyone will understand, and that's okay. You know, one of the central lessons of a quest is that you have to believe in your dream even if no one else does. So as long as that's interesting and fulfilling to you, then great. That's all you need, right? And there probably are other people out there who are doing this. You know, it's just like seeing every Shakespeare play or something like that. Like, I've met a number of people, like, on the book tour thus far across North America who, you know, they want to see every Shakespeare play. And I forget exactly how many there are.
Yeah.
But that's just, it's like a thing. So why not? You know, it's kind of fun. There is a sense of accomplishment as you go through it, you know? So it's not only the process of actually visiting those libraries, which is probably fun and enjoyable and interesting in itself, but it's also the sense that you're working toward the completion of something.
And the other thing that I found in planning, because I had one day in May where I was free, and I decided to go to the Nixon Library from here in Vancouver and do that all in one day. So I left here at 6 a.m. and then I was home by 10.
Great.
In the weeks planning that, I found that more rewarding than the actual day itself. And that's something that you write in the book, that planning for vacations often is probably the more exciting part, and because there's that feeling of anticipation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Anticipation is exactly it. That's what I was going to say. So, you know, you had a really tiring day, but you enjoyed, you enjoyed the setup for it. And I imagine at a certain point, you know, when you thought about that idea, you're like, well, I only have one day. Can I actually do this? You know, there is kind of a fun process of like, okay, well, if I get this flight, and then if I take this flight back at night, and then how much time will I have there? Like, do I need a car? All those kind of things. Like like you said, we actually enjoy thinking through these things. And now it's not only the anticipation on the front end, but now it's the memory on the back end, because now you have the story as well. So you have the planning and everything that leads up to it. Then you have the experience, and now you have the story. So it's almost a whole package.
So when you ended your quest of Norway, did you find that it was a bit of a letdown in some way?
I think by the time I actually got there, I was prepared for it, because I had thought a lot about that in the final year leading up to it. And when we actually went to Norway, like, at that point, it wasn't just me. Like, there were probably 200 people who came along with me. You know, my friends, readers, you know, different people who had engaged with the project, you know, for some time. Like, they said they wanted to come for that final country. And so I said, okay, we'll have a party at the end of the world, is what I call it, the end of the world party, you know. And so by the time we actually got there, you know, it was a community experience, and it represented how much the project had changed from the beginning, when it was just me and I wasn't writing about it. There was no public aspect of it. So I think by the time I got there, I had made my peace with that.
The other interesting thing about reading about that is that you didn't set out at first to do that. You just happened to travel to a lot of countries, and then I guess a third of the way through, or a quarter of the way through, you said, you know, you probably could hit all of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so the observation there is that sometimes we don't actually know what the full quest will be mm-hmm. when we begin. You know, we just start pursuing something that we like and find enjoyable, like perhaps going to every presidential library or something. And then maybe the vision expands as you do it, and you realize, actually, I really like this, and I'm drawn to that aspect of checking things off a list and making incremental progress. And then also you gain more confidence as you go along as well. And, you know, I had a lot of things that went wrong throughout the journey, but, like, the more misadventures I had, I guess the more I realized, like, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know, like, something could go wrong, but I'll probably be able to figure it out. I'll be able to keep going. So you don't have to have all the answers in the beginning. I think as you pursue something that you love, then perhaps, you know, it changes as you go along.
So you didn't set out to be an author, or did you?
No, not really. No, I visited 70 countries before I had a blog or before I shared anything about it. And then after a while, I did have this sense that, you know, I wanted, you know, whatever I was doing to be a part of a greater story. And I felt like it was just my own story for a while, and that was fine. But I did have a yearning to maybe connect with other people or share more about it. But it took a while to get to that.
So have you got another goal? What's the next quest?
I don't know if I have a next quest in the same way. You know, I've been on tour all across Canada this week, and then back in the States for a few more weeks. I think I've done maybe 35 cities so far, talking about quests and adventures. And one of the stops, I think it was Calgary or something the other day, someone said, you should go back to every country in reverse order. And I said, no, thank you. I said, maybe you can do that if you want, you know. So I don't think I'm doing something like that. But whatever I do, I want to focus much more on community. I want to focus on all these other great people who are pursuing adventures of their own and living unconventional lives, whatever that looks like to them, whether they're entrepreneurs or artists or travelers or even just people in regular jobs who also are thinking about their lives and trying to live intentionally. So I want to support them, and I think that's my next focus.
And Portland's still home for you?
Portland, Oregon is indeed still home. I'm there at least half the time. It's a wonderful place, but I try to get out and about elsewhere too.
You know, when we talked 2 years ago, I asked you why, was there anything in Portland to keep you there, because you seem to travel a great deal, and I hadn't been there. But since we talked, I've been there three times, and it's a great city. I go to Powell's for, you know, that's the reason why I go to Portland.
But oh, great!
I end up staying for other reasons.
That's great. It is a fun little place, and not too far from beautiful British Columbia as well.
Indeed, Chris, it's been good talking again. All the best with all of your endeavors.
Thank you so much.
The website for more, chrisguillebeau.com. The book is called The Happiness of Pursuit, Finding the Quest That Will Bring Purpose to Your Life. It's published by Harmony Books, which is an imprint of Crown. Its author, Chris Guillebeau, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.